Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the Great Milonzo, and you. I haven't said this yet, so I'll say it now. The phone line's open, 844-326-3663. If you have thoughts on the Big Ten's potential business arrangement, working on a $2 billion private equity investment, where a private investment firm would provide a $2 million influx in cash, and in return would receive about 1/20th of the league's revenue incoming, with an extension of the grant of rights to 2046, meaning that from here until 2046, that private investment firm would get 1/20th of the revenue that comes into the conference. The conference obviously believing that $2 billion of cash now will increase their ability to make much more than that until 2046 with a gigantic investment in whatever they choose to invest that money in, but most of it going to the schools. Now, hey, allow all the schools to have a big old stack of cash that they can put immediately instead of having to wait and budget and budget and budget and budget and budget and budget down the road. They just get a big old stack of cash now. Go, hey, do whatever you got to do to make your teams and your AD, your athletic department, as profitable as possible. My fear about that is, and I said this back in the first hour, if you missed it, go to thefanupstate.com, click on the podcast button, drop it down to the Rob Brown Show, and you can listen to hour number one, where I went further into this story in a detail at your leisure. My concern about this, people who run private equity groups or hedge funds, etc., they are not typically the type of people who are going to, in effect, purchase 1/20th of your entity, company, because in this case, I would go ahead and say that if this happens, the Big Ten is officially the Big Ten company. And it's fair. We already know it already is, but this would just kind of, to me, slap the official title on it, right? If this happens, it is likely that how much enforcement is up in the air and TBD, but they are going to have a voice at the table of what happens in the Big Ten. And you know that the suits running a hedge fund that would be invested in the Big Ten, they're not the type of people who are going to sit there and just trust that the Big Ten is only going to make decisions in the betterment of their financial position. They are going to have a seat at the table. They're going to have a voice, and they are going to have some power. So is this further businessification of college football, and is it done so, or will it be done so in a way that will impact the on-the-field product down the line, right? We've seen what NIL has done to college football. Some of you have said, I don't watch it anymore. The ratings suggest otherwise. Some of you have said that the portal did this, whatever. I wonder if a bunch of folks who are hedge fund guys, and again, you know what? I was thinking about this during that break at the end of the 1 o'clock hour. You know what it kind of feels like to me? The 1 o'clock hour, the first hour, the opening hour. Hour number one, that's what I'm going for. You know what it feels like to me? Feels like David Tepper with the Panthers, right? Yes, you're the investor. Yes, you have power. Yes, you have a seat at the table. You're not a football guy. And when you start putting hands on football products, the football products go to crap. It kind of feels like that. Now, he won't, obviously, this firm would not have the power that David Tepper has over the Carolina Panthers. But the other thought I would have here is, if you're opening it to 1/20th, could you not then down the line at some point go, you know what, we're going to divide these shares in half again, and we're going to have 40 shares. Every school gets two, the conference gets one, and two different investment firms get one. Now, two seats at the table, same amount of people at the table, but two seats at the table saying, this is how we want this business to be run. I don't know. I'm intrigued. We'll talk more about that later on. If you have a thought, 844-326-3663, you can call that number, get on the air. It is also the number to the Hub City Spartanburger text line, 844-326-3663. Shoot a text. Let me know your thoughts. We'll respond to it. We talked about Lane Kiffin. He said he believes that with the transfer portal, with NIL, and with the major conferences going to a 9-game slate across the board, as the Big Ten has, the SEC will, and the ACC will, not next year, but the year after, he believes that college football dynasties are done. And I agree with Lane Kiffin, but I have a love-hate relationship with that. I love that parity across college football is good. One of the things that makes the NFL interesting is that we open every year with 8, 9, 10 teams out of 32 that we think, you know, some of them will need more to go right than others, but Super Bowl potential here. That's what makes the league interesting. I think the same is true about college football down the line. But there's another aspect to this that I hate. And I hate that I won't have anybody to hate. I hate that we've always had in college football dynasties. And unless your team was the dynasty in the moment, everybody else hated you. Clemson fans, there were 5-6 years there where everybody hated you. Alabama fans, a decade and a half where everybody hated you. Georgia, 4 or 5 years where everybody hated you. I don't know that we're going to have that anymore. And, you know, college football hate is the best kind of hate. It's the best kind of hate. Hating your rival is as much fun as you can have hating. And, like, the nice thing about it is we all need to get that negativity out. And it's cool. It's fun in football to take it out on your rivals. Don't go too far. Don't be, like, keying cars and committing acts of vandalism and being a gigantic turd muffin in front of, you know, fans. But, like, have fun talking smack, whatever. That's great. But we may not have that anymore. Like, your hate will have to be concentrated on your rival because there's not that universal hate anymore, right? Like, if there was one thing back in 2014-15, if there was one thing in college football that could unite a Gamecock and a Tiger, it was mutual hate of the University of Alabama. We're not going to have that anymore. So your thoughts, your reaction to that as well.
By the way, quick story. Was out to eat last week and had Ohio State gear on. My wife did also. And a waitress came up to us and was talking to us and saying that she was a Clemson fan, was talking about her, about the season, was very unhappy with it, of course, and then said, I'm okay with Ohio State, but I hate Alabama.
Yeah. Universal hate, man. Universal hate. We're not going to have universal hate.
This was unsolicited because, you know, I didn't really partake in the conversation very much, but my wife did, and it was like, oh, okay. I'm just listening the whole time because I didn't want to influence it one way or the other.
Yeah. That type of hate that unites people. Right? Like, love brings people together, but nothing unites like hate. Just doesn't. And we're not going to have that central figure. All right, let me do this. I got a couple of clips that I want to play for you here on the radio program. Let me start with this one. I talked about kicking earlier in the week. I talked about field goals. I think we should narrow the uprights because we are to the point now where we are starting to see kickers. Anything inside of 50 yards is just, it's an automatic 3 points, right? And we talked obviously about Aubrey down in Dallas. This kid, I think it was, in fact, I know who it was because I'm about to play you the clip from Vic Fangio of the Philadelphia Eagles, defensive coordinator. He pointed out something that I knew had happened because it was a story in the offseason. You know, rules changes comes down across the NFL. It's a talking point because there's no football, so this is what we got. I remember that this rule had been instituted, but I had forgotten about it when I got to talking about kicking earlier this week. Here's Vic Fangio. Vic Fangio, and I first and foremost, I got to give him a bunch of credit because the Vic Fangio is a big baseball guy, and all those baseball references in there, absolutely adore that. Second off, I have never heard the phrase kicking balls so many times in my life. Which was great.
Not just that. It's hard. It's difficult.
There he goes. Lonzo's on a heater this segment.
It's difficult to have juvenile aspects to your personality and not want to laugh the entire time.
See, that's why I just give in. I don't care anymore.
Look at the stream.
Yeah. I know.
Look at the stream.
Listen,
it's like we all, unfortunately, I can't say we all, a good portion of us who have similar thought processes thought the same thing.
Yeah, we all group together. We find our people. Yes, you know, as Vic pointed out there, there are new rules in the NFL that allow the kickers to rub their balls and then go out and play with them, and nobody else is allowed to, right? And that's a legitimate thing. That's the new K-ball, as they're calling them, rules. I assume they call them K-balls because the NFL doesn't want to say, hey, kickers, listen, you can rub down your balls and only you can touch your balls, and then you get to go play football.
All right, so I forgot about all this, but I remember now McAfee talking about this and the advantage that it was going to be to the kicker, and that he believed that they would be able to get longer field goals out of it because they were able to do what they were able to do with the footballs.
100%. And I haven't gotten the chance to do this. I'm going to, but I looked it up. So far this season, field goals of 50 yards or longer are being hit at just a tick shy of 75%. You are of 50-yard field goals. Three out of every four are good now. That's not a guarantee, but if I told you right now I had an investment that paid out 75% of the time, that's better than gambling, right? Like, that, yes, I'm going to take that because I'm hitting three out of four times. Do you think that would have been the case in 1980. Do you think that would have been the case in 2015? Probably not. Now, there is obviously going to be the advancement of athletes, just like there is every other position on a football field. Guys are going to inherently get better as we learn more, as we have better science behind it, as people specialize in it more, right? Used to be back in the day, you might have been the long snapper, but you were also the left guard, right? Like, you didn't just get... Now long snappers, they're just a long snapper. That's all they do. They go to practice and they long snap for 1,000 balls a day. That's what they do. So that was the point that I was making, and I had completely forgotten until Vic Fangio made a joke about MLB players in the juiced ball era suddenly hitting, because I think he's right. We've seen Aubrey so far this year hit two from like 62 to 67. That would have been good from 70 plus. He will hit a 70 yarder this year. We will see the NFL record set this year. My question is, because of that, should we narrow the goalpost? Should we dial it back somehow? Or do we just roll with it?
I think it's exciting. I do. I think it's put more excitement into the kicking game, and it's also is causing defensive coordinators and special teams guys to have to look at the game differently. It's no longer if we keep them from this point in the field, then they're not going to come away with points. Now it's like, oh no, that kicker can hit from here. We're going to have a different strategy.
And I don't disagree. And for the record, it's the same for the team with the ball, right? Like, if I know Aubrey's good from this spot, I'm on the 45 going in, and like he's hitting this spot at 75%. I might be a little more loosey-goosey with the offensive calls because I know I got 3 points on the board. Like, I'm just about guaranteed three from here. So now I can be more aggressive in the next play call where I may not have been. It is definitely strategery in play, and I think that is interesting. But at the same time, I'm like, 75% from 50, it should be 50-50. It should be a coin flip at best from midfield. All right, Ty Simpson is the quarterback for the Alabama Crimson Tide. Now, if you didn't see that game against Georgia, did you see the fattest fat guy touchdown? Alabama has an offensive tackle by the name of Caden Proctor. This kid is a first-round NFL draft pick. He goes, great one, 360 pounds on the O-line. The dude is a dude. He's two dudes. He's the size of 2.5 dudes. Well, Alabama decided, let's have a little fun here. They took Caden Proctor, an offensive tackle, and they put him as a wide out, and then they threw him a screen pass, which he caught. And, you know, we all remember Chris Berman with his rumbling, bumbling, stumbling fat guy calls. This dude did not rumble, bumble, and stumble. This dude just steamrolled and train wrecked everybody in his way. He ran over a Georgia cornerback that I am relatively sure they went ahead and started etching his tombstone because Caden Proctor buried this kid.
All right, I'm watching the play now. There's the pass.
Just enjoy it. It's fun.
Yeah, see, I did.
Yeah, it's fun.
I did see this. You talk about the guy's weight, but the way he's built, he doesn't look like how you're describing.
Oh, no. He's thick.
I mean,
with the emphasis on the.
He's very tall and he's very wide. He's not like that
he's
guy.
He's not
with
traditionally fat.
Yeah.
He's muscle, but he's 360 pounds. So, Ty Simpson.
He's got a little bit of a gut, but it's not hanging over. It's just, that's a big
he's
guy.
A well-built. He's a prototype of, like, he's a Madden. If you wanted to play Madden and create an offensive tackle because you wanted to be a weirdo and play Madden as a tackle, this is what you build. Ty Simpson was at practice earlier this week, the quarterback who threw him that pass, and was asked about the raw athleticism of Caden Proctor. Listen to how my boy described his boy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Wow.
I don't know if I say that about that guy. Get out of the water. Now, for the record, I want to believe that 365, he said 380, he's listed as 365. I want to believe that 365-pound Caden Proctor is absolutely physically capable of jumping out of a pool. I want to believe that.
Is he really 6'8"?
Yes, he's huge.
Okay, so because he looks pretty tall. So 6'8", with that amount of weight, it's stretched out. So yeah, it's not like he's 5'9".
He's thorough. Like, he's a thick dude. I want to see this guy jump out of a pool. However, I also just want to hear Ty Simpson describe people from now on. Because to hit 6'8", 365, with that speed and the ability to jump out of a pool, to be on his, I know the kid's a good leader, because if you've gotten to the point with a friend who was 6'8", 365, that you can describe him as, have you ever seen a hippopotamus get out of the water before? That means that guy likes you. Because you're not saying that to 6'8", 365 that doesn't like you. By the way, because he'll go hippopotamus on you.
Yeah, that's my first thought. That's his boy. That's unless that's your friend, you're probably not doing that.
Yeah. You don't drop he reminds me of a hippopotamus getting out of the water, unless you're boys with that guy. All right, let's take a break. When we come back here in just a minute, we got a lot more we got to get to. We got an NFL game tonight we need to break down. We'll start taking our weekend preview. But I made a prediction. What was it, yesterday? That the Browns announced that Dylan Gabriel will be getting the starter. The Browns also announced that Joe Flacco will be QB2 and Shedeur Sanders is staying at QB3. And I made a prediction. I said, it's not that I can't wait until I see Dylan Gabriel play at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning in London, England. It's I can't wait to see what Shedeur Sanders says in front of his locker to cause another stir. It took about 7 hours, and Shedeur said nothing and caused a stir. I'll tell you what I mean. It's worth the wait. The Rob Brown Show's on your radio. It's The Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It is The Fan Upstate. The Cleveland Browns announced yesterday that Dylan Gabriel, one of the two quarterbacks that they drafted in this year's NFL draft, will be getting the start for the Browns as they are in London, England this weekend, taking on the Minnesota Vikings. And to be honest with you, based on what the Vikings are, or I guess aren't, doing right now, kind of feels like a good place to start. Yes, going to be tough. It's not a road trip. It's a very long plane trip, and no further than like LA to New York, but still a plane trip nonetheless, to a different place, a different country, different culture, different food, different schedule, jet lag, blah, 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 blah. However, you're up against a team that is without its starting quarterback, that has some questions that are unanswered to this point. On top of that, you are playing on a soccer pitch, which we have realized over the past couple of years slows the game down just a little bit. It's a good spot for the rook to get the start. However, that wasn't the announcement that moved the old proverbial needle yesterday. The announcement that moved the needle yesterday was that Joe Flacco, demoted from the starting position, would not be moving to QB3 and everybody else bumping up. No. Joe Flacco, Joey F-bomb, would be headed to the QB2 position on the roster, making Shedeur Sanders still QB3, a.k.a. the emergency quarterback. Well, last week, Shedeur Sanders, standing in front of his locker, went on, I'm not going to describe the speech because I do not want to poison the well. I will simply say, standing in front of his locker and asked about his beliefs on where he is on the team, where he is on the roster, where he is as a player, gave an answer where he basically said, I'm good enough and ready to be a starter. And paraphrasing said, I'm better than a lot of NFL starters in this league, which may or may not be true, to be honest with you. But the Browns don't consider you that yet. I responded to that by saying, I think part of the reason might be the mentality. Might be that they don't trust you in that position, both on and off the field at this point. And a lot of people fired back. This conversation came up yesterday at the end of the show because Rex Ryan went viral. Rex went on a rant about Shedeur. He's like, look, dude, if you want to prove that you're a starting quarterback, act like one. Because this isn't how a starting quarterback acts. You want to be a starting quarterback, act like one, and go out there and play and be ready and have the game plan. And when you are asked questions, answer questions the way that NFL franchises want you to answer them as a quarterback. And I said, listen, you don't have to agree with what Rex said to say. I do. Now, there is a way, and you can think this is fair or unfair. To some degree, I get the argument that it is unfair. Because there is a particular type of way that I, as a radio host, am expected to talk and to act, both on and off the radio. And some of it, I'm like, yep, I get it. I'm good with that because I'd like to keep my job and keep doing this. On the flip side, there's a lot that I'm like, that's a little extreme, right? Like, hey, we don't want you to say this when you're, okay, well, like, I don't see the problem with it. I'm not going to because I want to keep my job again. And that's kind of where I'm at with Shedeur. Let me explain. Yesterday, after the announcement that Shedeur Sanders would stay at QB3, Joey Flacco, Joey F-bomb, would drop from QB2 down to, or QB1 down to QB2, Shedeur was again, as I predicted, in front of his locker. And again, as we all knew was going to happen, the media wanted to know, hey, Shedeur, how do you feel? Dylan Gabriel got promoted. You did not. Joe Flacco got demoted, yet he's still ahead of you. How do you feel about it? Now, they were setting Shedeur up to do one of two things. To either show that he was going to answer the question the way that a starting quarterback would answer the question if the franchise had control over what they said, or to not do that. I'm going to play you this audio, and then I will explain what the video shows you. And you're going to notice something about Shedeur Sanders, who is very much standing right in front of the media as they're asking him these questions. I need you to remember that point because it's important. Okay, so that was the media standing directly in front of Shedeur Sanders and asking him questions about what do you need to show the coaches, have you grown, how important has Joe Flacco been? And what you will notice in that clip of Shedeur speaking to the media is that Shedeur did not speak to the media. Shedeur answered the questions, moving his mouth, being animated, making points with his hands without making a sound. He quite literally mimed. You know, the way that you would if you were messing with one of your buddies and you were like pretending you were giving him an answer but you didn't say anything because you're seven. It's like that. That's what he did.
Wow. See, here's the thing. First of all, why are we talking? Why does the media care about a third-string quarterback? You're just going there to find your next soundbite. So
don't put this on the media.
Oh, absolutely.
It's Shedeur Sanders.
It's on them. It's the same reason why they talked to Tim Tebow so much when he wasn't starting. Because
people
can
care?
Because you can get a story out of it. And in this case, I've been in situations where if I talked, people got mad. If I didn't talk, people got mad. And when he talks, they take it out of context. They put it into place. They make people like you get mad. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing. He's a third-string quarterback. I don't care what he says, what he does, and most people should not care.
You.
He's a thirsty. This is.
It doesn't matter what people should or shouldn't do.
This is, I want a hot take. Let me go talk to the third string quarterback. In a situation, the Cleveland Browns, they put themselves in this situation. When they start him, they cannot bench him. When they make that decision to start him because of the controversy, there will be more controversy with them benching him than there will them starting him, which is why they're probably not going to do
it. Time out. You understand that's part of the story. That's part of the reason this is a conversation. That's part of the story. What you just did was say, oh, it's dumb, you're going for a story, and then you added to why the story is a story.
Just leave the third string quarterback alone. Who's the third string quarterback on the New Orleans Saints?
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
I'm just curious.
Right now. It doesn't matter.
I'm curious. Maybe I want to know what he has to say. Time out.
Should they not go talk to Tyler Shuck right now? Should they go, you're not starting? Tyler Shuck, the guy we just drafted, just like the Browns drafted Shedeur Sanders this year. Should we not talk to Tyler Shuck? Should we only talk to Spencer Rattler?
You mean the second string quarterback?
Yes.
Who's the third string?
Oh, so we should not talk about anybody else.
There's a pecking order here. Third string quarterbacks should not be spoken to.
Okay. So
you're a third string quarterback.
Now
second string, if there's a quarterback controversy, you talk to second string.
Now.
But there isn't, right?
Okay. Great. Now let me tell you what happened in New York City. Third string quarterback Jameis Winston was being talked to by the media because Jackson Dart got elevated to QB1 and Russell Wilson got dropped down to QB2 in front of Jameis Winston. Jameis Winston, third string quarterback. We shouldn't talk to Jameis, right? Like he should just be ignored. No, because it is a story.
You do understand that's a different situation. You know it is.
Jameis Winston has been a starter everywhere else. Stop. You just said.
I'm being silenced.
Yes, you are. Because you just said you should not be talking to third-string quarterbacks. You didn't say, unless there's a contingency. You said you should not be because you're just trying to get a hot take.
I also played right in there for you on purpose. But now
it's a different story. Now it's a different thing.
It's not really.
Now, that being said, Shedeur Sanders answered the question.
You're right. They shouldn't be talking to Jameis. He's a third-string quarterback.
Shedeur Sanders answered the question like an immature 7-year-old. That's why you're not getting the chance.
Let me show you. No, he did not. He absolutely did not. He did not. Mouthing and miming answers. There's nothing that he could do that's the right thing.
You know what the right thing to do is? Let me get to it.
To not talk to them.
Here's the right thing. That's the right thing to do. That's how you answer. If Shedeur does that, we're not having this conversation. It's not a story.
It's still a story.
How is it a story? If he answers exactly that way.
He said the same thing. He just didn't end it that way.
He said
that he believes he's a starter in the NFL. It's the same thing that Jameis just said.
Yes, but because Jameis knows
how to speak to the media, and maybe Shedeur doesn't. It's all about how Shedeur speaks. I don't know why that bothers you. I don't know. It probably didn't bother you when his dad spoke that way. And I know, yeah, his dad was a starter. His dad did all that stuff. Well, he hasn't been given his chance yet. When it comes, we'll see what happens.
Yes.
I just think this is such a big non-story. It just really is. I think just leave the kid alone. You know what? Just leave him alone. If you're not there asking him the dumb questions, then he's not in the news anymore. He's just the third string quarterback. There'll be people talking about it on the internet. There'll be people talking about it on the radio. But it's no longer having this media blitz of, oh no, he pantomimed. I leave him alone. Just leave him alone. Let him be a third string quarterback.
So you may not think that they should, but people care about this story. You may think that they shouldn't care about the story, but they do.
You've made me so upset I played the same bed twice.
This is a story that can have like a million different lessons to it. It can be lessons to future quarterbacks. It can be lessons to current quarterbacks. It can be lessons to kids that are coming up and want to be a quarterback. When you go through the process the way that Shedeur Sanders went through the process, when you handle your business the way that he is or is not handling it, and when on the exact same day.
This is Nepo baby hate.
In the exact same day, when another guy in the league, and although he is a longtime vet, but is in the exact same situation as you, and three, one got demoted to two, I stay at three, just showed you how to answer the question in a way. Nobody's having a conversation about Jameis Winston today. Nobody. Nobody's saying anything about it. Nobody cares. If Shedeur answers it that way, there is one thing that happens. You know what it is? We do stop talking about him because now it's boring. Now, be boring. You want to be boring? Then people will leave you alone. People leave you alone, now you can dial in on playing football. But when you act like an immature, petulant 7-year-old because you're mad at what's happened, then people won't leave
you
alone,
right,
and you say
that's
a story.
What those media members are acting like, 7-year-olds asking those questions of a third-string quarterback. They should be ashamed.
Yeah, Browns
I don't
fans.
Even understand why they still
yes,
have
Browns
a job.
Fans, you drafted. You have a fifth-round draft pick on your team that you shouldn't care about.
You shouldn't
care about him.
You shouldn't. Do you care about who are the other fifth-round draft picks?
It doesn't matter.
Do you care?
I don't care about any of them. I don't care
25th
about
round?
Lonzo, I don't care who my team drafts. I don't care. I don't care what they do with their draft picks. The most valuable asset to my NFL franchise, I don't care what they do with them. That's what you're saying. No, that's not how it works. They matter. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rob Brown Show on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the great Lonzo, and you. Clemson on the road this weekend in Chapelville, North Carolina. And this is a get-right game. This is a game that matters very much for your Clemson Tigers, ladies and gentlemen. And it matters very much because it is one of two opportunities to not be bad at football.
Yeah, but what if they lose?
We are going to talk about that coming up here in just a minute.
Because I'm curious about your thoughts about what happens if they lose. Because I've been here when this sort of thing's happened. You haven't. And it's a phenomenon. I hope you don't. I mean, there's some Clemson people who are on our feed who appear to be nice people. I feel bad for them. The other ones, you know who you are. I don't feel bad for you. But I've seen what happens when it goes really bad. I think you should get to see it at least once.
We will find out, and I will get to that coming up here in just a minute. This game is massively importante because it is Clemson's opportunity to say we don't stink at football and you guys have blown an anomaly out of proportion. We're going to be fine. However, you have to go out there and do that. Eric McLean is a host, contributor, a bunch of different roles for the ACC network. He is also, obviously, as you Clemson fans know, notably a Clemson guy. In fact, he's such a Clemson guy that there is no hiding it or keeping it a secret when he is on the ACC network. They repeatedly reference him as a Clemson guy. It is your Clemson Tigers. Your Tigers are doing this, Eric McLean.
Is it okay for you to be that guy when you played for that team?
Yeah, I don't have a problem with it because he's not serving in the role of analyst. He's serving in the role of, well, I mean, he is serving in the role of analyst, but he's serving in the role of analyst that is not necessarily expected to be objective, A, and also B, I think it is okay.
He's our expert because he's been there. He's been that. It had the overall experience.
Correct.
So take advantage of his knowledge.
Correct.
That.
And I also think on top of that, and one thing that this to me is required.
When I said our, I meant the network. I didn't mean me. I just want to clarify.
I also think the other aspect of it that makes it okay is that I think, and I obviously have watched a lot of the ACC net. I've seen a lot of the broadcast in person, both at Clemson at ACC Media Days and some other places we've done joint events. He is pretty objective. He's not a fan when he does this stuff, and I think he earns that spot. That being said, I do want to talk about this. He was on his podcast not too long ago that he does on the side, and he was talking with former Georgia quarterback Aaron Murray. Now, Aaron Murray had a take. And you hear the take, and Aaron Murray's kind of trying to make his way up in the sports broadcasting world. Understandable, aren't we all? And some people decided the best way to do that is to grab attention with hot takes. I'm not saying this is a hot take. I'm just saying the way he phrases it makes it sound that way. It is Eric McLean's take at the end of the segment that I think is important. So Aaron Murray says, and he's obviously specifically talking about the defensive line, which, yes, in fact, I myself said on a handful of shows, because I, along with a lot of other people, so I don't feel bad about it, I picked Clemson as a national championship team this year. And the reason that I did was not because of Cade Klubnik, and it was not because of Antonio Williams or Adam Randall or Garrett Riley or Dabo Swinn or anybody. The reason I picked Clemson as a national championship team this year was because of the defensive front seven. It was because of a front seven that was, as Aaron Murray pointed out, supposed to have multiple NFL first and second round draft picks across it. And while the defensive front seven actually, I thought, played relatively well against LSU, as Aaron pointed out, Ole Miss just beat LSU's offensive line in that game as well. So, like, it doesn't even stand out like the standout performance that we thought that it might have been in week one and in week two, when LSU was on their way to becoming the number, what, three team in the country before fading after the Ole Miss loss. The issue here is that in that clip, and then a few other times when talking about Clemson and the rest of that pod, Eric McLean, who, let me say two things about. Number one, I think he's very good at his job. I think he's very good at his job. Number two, I really like the guy. Because in the handful of times that we have crossed paths and I have said hello, he has always been very, very kind to me. In fact, three years ago, I went to a Clemson game. And after the game was over, I made my way down to the field, you know, go check in with the players and go to the postgame presser and all that. And Eric and the ACC crew were doing their show on the sideline. And I walked by, and I had not seen him since media days earlier in the year. But I walked by and I kind of gave him the old, you know, cool guy, two finger, like, what's up? But also, like, I'm not fanboying right now. You know, the casual, like, sup, dog. Sup, bruh. Good to see you, dog. And he gave me like a wave. He's like, hey, come over here. And I walked over. He's like, ACC Media Days, I remember you. I said, yeah, we talked for a minute. Super good guy. In fact, he, and I got to find it, let me come up on the stage between a break to like take a picture behind the desk. It was very cool. Like, he's a great dude. I was working with him well before he went to the ACC. Now, I think the first year I was here, he was still doing local stuff in his pod. And now he and Kelly are doing ACC Network stuff. Great dude. Love him. And I think he's exceptional at his job. But I'm also going to say, especially in the podcasting front, but also to some degree on the ACC Network, Eric is a wonderful asset for Clemson to have, because he does talk good about you. And he does talk about how exceptional his experience was at Clemson. And he does talk great about his time with Dabo and his time on campus. And he is the type of dude that if you can get onto a national scene as a talking head, they become a wonderful asset because they're recruiting for you. Maybe not directly talking to kids, but when somebody reaches that stature and they are just like, everything is awesome. The campus is awesome. The coach is awesome. The people are awesome. The experience is awesome. The food is awesome. The facilities are awesome. The amenities are awesome. Everything about being a Clemson football player kicks ass. It's the best thing. You should all want to do that. That's a great asset. But when you get to a point where you have got somebody who is not that, who is saying, this team is fraudulent, we were lied to, they have been exposed, you are getting pushed around by lesser schools. And again, I think Georgia Tech is a good football program. I do. Tough game against NC State, coming off of a major high with a win over Clemson, right? Like, of course, that's how this game works. You have a high, you can trust that very soon you will have a low. I think that might have been the worst you'll see Georgia Tech play all season. In fact, right now, Georgia Tech has the second highest odds in the ACC to win the ACC championship, trailing only number four, Miami. So when you have somebody in the media, as Aaron Murray is doing, trying to break in and needs to be, while I do not honestly even have an issue with the take, because I agree, I picked you publicly on syndicated, nationally syndicated radio when I'm trying to make myself stand out so I can get more of those opportunities. And I said, front seven, like, you're going to win the national championship because this front seven is an NFL front seven. And then that front seven gets straight up beat, not just by a good Georgia Tech team, who I said in the preseason, watch out, the Rambling Wreck ain't no joke, because Brent Key focused on the line. It's a good D-line. It's not Clemson's, but it's good. It's a good O-line. It's not Clemson's, but it's good. And then against Syracuse, who I said coming into the year, I think that this team isn't there yet, but Fran Brown is another football dude. Colleges are starting to go get football dudes. He's a football dude. This team may not be talented, but they will play good football. They will execute. They will be disciplined. They will get the job done. And that's what happened as well. There's still, I'm sorry, not a reason to lose to either one of those teams, certainly not to Cuse at the crib. So when you have Aaron Murray calling aspects of your team, quote, fraudulent, and Eric McClain is agreeing with him, and he is saying, do something about it. Go out there and hit somebody. Lay somebody out. Do something about it. You have, based on your performance this year, taken a guy who is a major asset to you and your football program, because he has a multiple national platforms to talk about how awesome you are, and now he is saying about your football team, fraudulent. Do something about it. They're not doing anything. They're getting hit in the jaw, and they're not doing anything about it. You now lose that. You lose that asset. You lose that ability to have Eric McClain effectively recruiting from a distance for you, selling about how amazing you are. Now you're listening to that same guy go, program soft. He's not saying that, but like when you say do something about it, go hit somebody, what you're saying is they're not doing anything about it, and they're not hitting somebody. He's calling your program indirectly, because I don't think he's the type of dude that would say it this way, but he's saying this team's playing soft right now. And more importantly, when he's spending time doing that, he's not spending time talking about how great everything is and why young players should want to go play there. Now, Zoe asked before I went down this path, what happens if Clemson loses to North Carolina on Saturday? Well, the obvious and open answer, Zoe, is nothing good. Nothing good. Because this UNC program right now, whether you think, oh, Bill just needs more time, or you guys are going overboard, or UNC's never been a program, why did you expect it was just going to happen in 1 year? Or you're like me and you go, no, this dude's in over his depth. He just doesn't have it. Yes, you can chalk him up as the greatest coach of all time. I still think he was just lucky to be the coach that ended up with Tom Brady. But chalk him up as the greatest of all time. I don't care for the sake of this argument. College football's a different animal. He's in over his head. He's letting a 24-year-old girl run his life right now, and he's just not clicked in. The national narrative is, whether you care about it or not, and the national narrative matters because the younger kids are listening to it. That's where they get their football from. UNC's a joke. It's a joke. And if you go to Chapel Hill and you lose to a team that is being considered in the national narrative a joke, don't even worry about what Eric McClain is saying. You are going, if you lose this game, Clemson losing to North Carolina is like an entire hour on ESPN. Talk about Eric McClain not recruiting for you. The big dogs will be actively trying to hurt you if you lose to UNC. Hey,
maybe Bill was so happy when he and Dabo were doing press junkets together and stuff, because Bill understands the Clemson way, and he already knows he's going to have a victory in that game.
We'll see. I mean, again, like, I talked to a Carolina fan.
By the way, I am not going to pick Clemson to lose to North Carolina.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah, I'm not going
to
do that.
Neither one of us is. We don't even have to pick that game. We're both picking Clemson to win. But if you do lose, because I've talked to some North Carolina fans that have said, this is our Super Bowl. Everything is dialed in on this game. This is the one we want the most. If that's how the football team feels, and they come out, and they slap you around, and you don't answer, and you lose this game, forget that McClain's not an asset anymore. Everybody on ESPN will be running you out of town on a rail.
I know we're going to be talking about this more, but Belichick classically takes away your best player. Who's he taking away on Clemson's offense?
Right now it's Adam Randall, right? Antonio Williams on the outside, or Adam Randall in the pocket, and make Cade Williams throw to a guy who's double covered because there's no run game. I don't know. We're going to talk more about this coming up in the next segment of the show. We got plenty more that we need to get to. We've got Fight Club at 9:20. All that and more coming up as we roll on now. Sports Flash.
He would have forgot, Steven, if you hadn't put that on
there.
No,
I didn't. I didn't even look.
The Cleveland Guardians tied their 3-game series with Detroit with a 6-1 victory. Tanner Bibee went 4.2 innings with 5 hits and 1 run allowed, while Cleveland recorded 6 hits, including a George Valera homer in the first inning. That set the tone. The elimination game is today at 3. San Diego forced an elimination game today with a 3-0 win over the Cubs. Dylan Cease gave up no runs in a short 3.2 inning start, but Mason Miller, who struck out 5 of the 6 innings pitched, including a punch out, with a 104.5 mile per hour fastball, which is really fast. Fastest recorded pitch in postseason history. Game 3 is at 5. The Yankees defeated the Red Sox 4-3 to force a Game 3 in their series. Carlos Rodon pitched 6 solo innings with 4 hits and 3 runs allowed, while the Yankees offense punched up 10 hits, including a Ben Rice homer and an Austin Wells sack fly to score the winning run in the 8th game. 3 is at 8 o'clock tonight.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.